So I did that, and at that same meeting, I told them if they didn't find an organization or person to help them take on the transition of the 4th of July events, I would help them. And so in January, after, you know, finished our December fundraising, I attended that meeting, and we kind of planned out how, you know, I could help them make that transition. And then set up a meeting with the community. There was a community-wide meeting to explain the transition to the public and take their comments. It was a wonderful meeting. The room was full, and we had some volunteers at that time that were really critical in this process. So that worked out really well. And in the meantime, I've done millions of phone calls, and I've found chairs for every event. But the Crazy Craft races or something like that, and the kids' fifth wheel contest. Okay, so all of the water events are happening. Okay, they have chairs, and it's just an amazing group of people I have talked to. It's just been heartening for me to do this project, and I just want to thank those that have volunteered and tell you how amazing I think you are. Sylvia Adepa and Laura Lee at the Chamber, we've been in contact very tightly in the process of this transition, and that has worked out real well for the Chamber. It's been a minimum, this whole thing has been a minimum impact for them, and that was the goal. So I covered where we are with volunteers. You know, anybody who wants to call, there's a flyer on a bulletin board with my phone number on it, and you can volunteer. The other thing is, these people are also taking on the added responsibility of figuring out prizes on their own, and how to pay for things they need, like eggs and, you know, the materials that they need. So, you know, you can call me, and I'll pass you on to the person that is chairing the event. So that is also covered. I'm covering it. And so we get that connection between the financial report and the volunteers. The schedule, you know, there's some major changes in the schedule. We've changed fireworks to the 4th. And that meant all the water activities on the 4th. And there was a number of them had to be moved. The 3rd, and we have two big ships coming in the middle of it all. On the 2nd, we have a 2,000 person ship, and on the 3rd, we have a 700 person ship. So I did talk to Steve a little bit in one of the community meetings, last community meetings, and I told him I've done everything I can to put all the water events on the 3rd. So that smaller ship, they can figure out how to handle and the city will figure out what to do there. So I guess the wrap up part of this is that what's left to be done, getting the schedule out. We'll be at the community market on Saturday. I'll have a draft schedule, but I do need to have that approved by the city first and put it out for good. Okay, so that's, you know, something on the plate of the city. And I guess I'd ask you, do you have any comments, suggestions, or questions?
Okay, this is not an answer a question thing. It's just a question to me.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right, thanks so much.
You want to talk on the next item when the public hearing comes up?
Yeah.
Thank you. Kathy Watkins, you are on non-agenda item.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Assembly. Yep. And you already know I am. I'm going to read this. It's real quick, to the point, and I'll go through it all. But when I read the paper a couple of weeks ago after the last meeting, it felt like I needed to clear up a misunderstanding with the board. And when maybe what I said wasn't clear, and sometimes I don't make sense to people. But when I talked last month, I asked what we talked about, had the board thought about a senior exemption for the business license sales tax thing for the community market as an example. And I think it came across wrong. and reading the article. I was not saying all seniors have a tax exemption sales tax from everything. All I was addressing was only the community market and the business license situation. And I think that came across wrong because the newspaper made it sound like I was saying we should all have a tax exemption. So I want to just clear that up that I didn't say that. My only thought was is if we did something like that, there could be a, on the application itself, the business application, how old are you? And if you're 70, you make that exemption. If you don't, then you just go through the regular process. So that's all my intent was when I talked last month. Okay, so just clarify. The other thing, it's real short, and it's more personal. And I do want to read this because it was something that's been on my thought, my mind for about 4 weeks and weighed a lot on my heart. At the last meeting, I felt that some of the comments that were made by an assembly member about seniors was very disrespectful. It was not just what was said, but it was how it was presented to me. And I know I'm don't represent all the seniors, but I am a senior, and I did take it personal because I did take a pick personal. I would hope that as this community continues to grow, that this board will remember the value of the seniors in this community, the wisdom, the knowledge, the history that they bring, and the flavor that they bring to this community. We are a really important part of this group. We're not just the people that used to be. We're so active and we're still wanting to be part of this community. And it just felt like the comments that were made said like, we aren't important anymore. You know, you're getting too much. And I just think that was disrespectful. So I just wanted to be on record that how I felt about it, because you represent me too. You know, and you're put in place by this community. And a lot of that community are old people, just like me. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Donna? Bruce, yep. I just know you're Donna.
Good evening. I'm here on the regards of people selling their craft that they make out of supplies that they buy that they pay taxes, 7% sales tax on. Doesn't make any difference where you buy from. You pay 7% sales tax to Wrangell, Alaska. So the 7% and get us having to get business licenses, having us to get a Wrangell license, whether it's $2,500 or $250, it doesn't matter. The thing of it is, when you sell a craft, you put your heart into it to gift it. Now, last year, as I was walking down, Wrangell is my turf. Wrangell is my home. Wrangell people are my people. And last year, I thought, what am I going to do? So I made 176 bracelets, beaded bracelets. And to all the tourists, when I ran across them, I said, oh, can I see your arm for a minute? And they'd do like this. And I'd zip one of the bracelets on. Well, I was fortunate at Christmas time to run across one of the tourist ladies, and she said, I just want to show you something that's dear to my heart. And I didn't know her, no clue who she was. And she held out her hand, and there was the bracelet. She said, I never take it off. Well, for me to have to make those, some, if I was to sell them, and have to charge 7% sales tax, is ridiculous. My thing is, if somebody was to buy something, say valued at, I don't know, $10,000, why not charge them 5% sales tax for the whole sum instead of taking the piddly little things that is sold at the community market and force them to get a license? Get a business license, that's almost $300. And all this just to sell things. I make $60 and one time I made $1,000. I mean, I'm honest. Now, in the paper, it said that when Donna Kuntz spoke, they couldn't find what she spoke about. I'm not a liar. And I did not like that. I did not appreciate it. I thought it was rude. And I thought it was very cruel because of the fact I don't lie. And it happened. And if those papers are gone, maybe it went up in the fire. I don't know. I can't tell you. But I do know that I thought it was very rude and very disrespectful to have that printed in the Wrangell Sentinel. And I'm not saying it to hide. And I'm not saying it to protect myself. But I'm saying no matter who it is, I don't care what your name is. This is disrespectful. And also to tax people for their little crafts that they do, whether they make $2,000 a year. Wow. I'm 83 years old, and I don't make $2,000 a year, but I have to pay $10 a table at the Nolan Center. That's where I sell my craft. It's the only place I sell my craft. And you're dividing our community. Be careful what you do. You live here. Those are tourists. They come here. They leave their dollars here. But all our money is spent here. All my money is spent here. I pay a light bill. I pay a fuel bill. I pay water, sewer, whatever it is that the city charges. I pay that and I pay a tax on it. And now you want to tax me more and make me have to figure out, oh, I used $11 for this project to make this bracelet. And I'm selling it for $25, and I got to pay sales tax on it to the city. That's ridiculous. And I'll tell you what, you're hurting your own community, not just me. It's not just me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mom.
Bruce Smith, got on other agenda items. Would you like to speak now?
This kind of trails along with the workshop you guys just had, so most of this will be pretty fresh in your mind. Some of the questions I may have had were kind of presented in there, so that was helpful. But I drafted this up, so I'll go ahead and read through it. I was looking over the agenda packet, looking for the continued efforts you have of squeezing every nickel out of the service ratepayers, and couldn't help but notice agenda item 13H, which does no longer correspond with what was out here. This item provides not just salary increases of select employees, but the creation of three new employees to your ever-expanding number of borough employees. The creation of the three new positions is quite an expense. On page 364 of your agenda packet, it states that the total estimated financial impact of the proposed wage and grade table amendments is $244,824. This is inclusive of all associated salary adjustments, new position costs, and employer-related expenses. Now, this number just did not make much sense to me, and I hope that when the item comes up for discussion, you guys can explain the math on how this is calculated. For comparison, with my limited information here, my basic math figures in at a low of $392,327 up to a high of $477,095. This number does not include any hiring expenses, training costs, or that administrative coordinator position. For the most basic of calculations and understanding, you have three new employees. And if they are hired at the lowest step as presented, each employee starts no lower than $82,216 annually. Those three positions alone add up to about $246,648 and more than the quoted financial impact estimate. Then when you add the benefit packages, then consider the salary increases of the other employees discussed, the number just goes up. So as you discuss this item, please explain how these new positions and salary increases total only the $244,824, all expenses included. And many of you probably recall 2 years ago when the city was crying doom and gloom and not having enough money to balance the budget. You sat up there saying how supportive you were, and then turn around, voted, and defunded my position, claiming that there's a lack of money. So given that, I would like to hear how you plan to find money to cover an extra $400,000 of salary when 2 budgets ago you couldn't find enough money to fund all the existing borough employees at that time. Thank you.
Got it?
Okay. Thank you.
Amendments to the agenda? There are none. Consent agenda or conflict of interest?
I have two.
I'm going to step down from this.
Do you want to do, go ahead and do Mikey's.
I'd like to declare conflict on item 13G because I'm planning on applying for a position that is discussed in that item. Second, I'd like to declare a conflict of interest for item 13K as well, since that is the item is for the assembly to accept my resignation.
Conflict on both. Anyone else, Jim?
13A, my wife has a pending contract with the school board.
I'm going to declare you have a conflict also.
I'm on the school board, and we've sit in the budget. Doesn't affect my me financially in any way.
So I'm sorry, he doesn't have a, if it doesn't
put, he's on the school board.
He's on the school board.
Yeah.
So we'll declare you have a conflict also. Then I'm going to step off my seat and give the gavel to Senator Delrymple because I have a conflict also. My wife works for the school system.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mayor. I find that you three do have a conflict. However, we do have a situation where we can accept that you still stay on and still vote, and that's called the rule of necessity. Kim, would you explain that for the public?
I will. So the rule of necessity refers to an exception to the ordinary rule providing for the minimum number of assembly members or borough officials required to approve an official item. If by reason of being excused for conflicts of interest, which in this case they are, the number of assembly members or borough officials is reduced to less than the minimum number required to approve the official action, which it does because it would lower it to 3, the rule of necessity applies and all members present shall vote, meaning all 6 of you shall vote on 13A.
Thank you. Consent agenda? Need a motion?
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second. Moved by Delrymple, second by Austin. Roll vote, please.
Assembly members Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
The board?
Yes.
Powers? And Vice Mayor Powell?
Yes. Borough manager report?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate calling for tonight. I have a pretty short management report for you tonight just because we have a really long meeting. I'd like to try to get down to business, but I do have a few positive updates for the community. We did have a SEPA presentation at the Nolan Center, and hopefully a couple of you guys got to attend that. I believe the presentation is in the packet. If you're interested in reviewing those materials, they're also on our website, and we have the video recorded where people are able to ask some questions. Tonight, a big piece of our business will be the SEPA lease agreement. It's the first thing on the agenda, and I'll get into the specifics of why it's a really great thing for our community. And I think we got a really great deal for the community of Wrangell, not just the borough itself, but its citizens. And so I'll get into that a little bit, but I do encourage you to look into that lease agreement and understand that the SEPA stability and reliability grid project is a $6 million investment to the community, likely some personnel attached to that, along with another about $3 million for our switchyard, which will power up the mill property with the big industrial build out we have. So very awesome presentation by SEPA staff. And I really thank them for coming up and hosting and having that presentation. I think a lot of folks in the community just expect the lights on, and we should, but it's really fascinating to understand SEPA and how we get our power and really how lucky we are to have affordable and reliable power. It may not seem like it because costs keep going up across the country, but we have lower power costs than Seattle, Washington, and we are the lowest community in the state of Alaska because of SEPA power cost equalization. So I encourage you guys to all look at that. SEPA will, and it's funny because I had to give Kim a number to text after the item, but they will start construction tomorrow if this assembly approves the lease tonight. So they're currently down at Swan Lake doing work for Ketchikan. They're going to fly up tomorrow and start going to work on the road for the extended easement that was approved by planning and zoning last night. So a good update, big investment of $9 million in the community of Wrangell, and it allows us to have some preferential treatment on energy and backup generation. So I'll get into more details there, but a big win for the community tonight. American Cruise Lines, just wanted to give the assembly an update. on that. We met with the American Cruise Line team. We went through a couple of different revised design options. I think the largest concern I heard from the assembly, also from the community, is that this facility sticks way too far out. It impedes entrance into our inner harbor, to our marine haul out facility, and navigation into city docks. So that's been resolved. It's been pushed in, the facility has. We do plan to get a final set of permitted drawings from American Cruise Lines here in the next week or so. And then we will base our fill out project design based off of that. We do have to, there's some level of design because there's stormwater infrastructure and other utility infrastructure as part of that project. Recall that we did get our bond proceeds on April 14th. So that's sitting in the bank. They're being invested right now. So they're making about 4% while we wait on this. This is not a project funded by taxpayers. It's by the rates derived from the cruise ship port. So this will be a welcome extension. We'd expect to have the fill out project start in September and go through the winter. Probably a good thing for the community. We don't need to have crazy construction activity taking place with a heightened visitor industry in the summer months. So huge project there. That's a big investment, $5-6 million going into the community there. Alaska Marine Lines, I had the opportunity to go meet with the leadership at Linden, who owns Alaska Marine Lines. So I got to meet with Jason Jansen, their chief operating officer. His uncle, Jim Jansen, owns the whole company at Linden. And we've been working pretty hard for the last 18 months on getting to a lease agreement out at the mill property for a 3-4 acre portion initially of that site to develop our new freight yard. They have committed to working with us on that lease agreement, and we plan to bring that forward on June 9th for their assembly consideration. We also plan to bring forward the data center concept to the assembly, at which point I, as administration, will recommend denial because we're going to go a different direction. So just to put that maybe a little bit to bed now, hopefully the assembly agrees with that. But so that's just, I see that swirling out there quite a bit. So hopefully that helps temper some unfounded emotion. Related to Structure, which was the company that presented in the chambers, a couple weeks back. This is the SCADA company that manufactures PLCs, or programmable logic controllers, that are part of SCADA software. They are looking to home base out of Wrangell for their manufacturing and assembly. They're reaching out to a commercial property owner here of a fairly large building and moving forward with that purchase. So hopefully over the summer months, they're able to acquire that and start migrating to Wrangell. And their plan is to start developing in the turn of the new year. So they'll kind of retrofit that building to their needs and then bring some staff down here and start working. We likely will sign a professional services agreement with them because they already do some of our SCADA work, but great to not only have an expert in the SCADA industry in Wrangell, but to create some jobs in that way. So they're expected 12 to 25 jobs in the initial phase of that first year, and then it'll grow from there. So another exciting opportunity. Was able to meet with our design engineer, Pearlson Group, down in Jacksonville, Florida. We flew down for a quick day trip to go check out the shipyard that's down in Jacksonville. It's called the BAE facility. It's one of the newest shipyards in the United States. It has a ship lift, and it's the largest ship lift in the country. It's certainly on the East Coast. And it's a 25,000 ton ship lift, which sounds really big because it is. It's about a 490 by 110 foot ship lift. So you think of our largest travel lift, that's 300 tons. This is 25,000 tons. So it's capable of lifting just about everything short of an aircraft carrier. They can do destroyers, which was sitting in front of us in the yard. I couldn't take a lot of pictures because sensitive military information, I guess. We still staffed a few, but not of the actual ship. They employed about 1,100 people at that shipyard. And the amazing thing is the natural layout of the property was almost exactly the same as the mill property. Same kind of deep water, same dimensions. Ours is actually a little bit bigger. The biggest expense for the yard, they did it in 26 months in total. It was started in April of 2023 and complete in June of 2025, was the concrete, because they had concrete columns on top of another 4.5 feet of concrete. Because as you can imagine, those 20,000 ton ship weighs quite a bit, and you're going to have the sub base to be able to have that operation going on. So, and then if the ship lift, of course. So all told, it was about a $250 million project that we're looking to do here in Wrangell. And so we learned a lot about the Jacksonville project. Our design engineers going up to the JAG facility in Ketchikan on May 21st to go review some of their design plans from back in the day and try to modernize it here in Wrangell. But we're really optimistic about getting this shipyard done sooner than later. We believe, and so does JAG, it's not a matter of if, but when we get this thing funded. And our goal is by Christmas of this year to have it funded. Could be sooner. So just, I know that that's an exciting thing for the community. It comes with about 150 jobs, a big housing buildup. Cost of living goes down when you have some economies of scale in the community. So I've heard nothing but good things from the community on that. So we'll keep you informed as we continue to move along with JAG Marine, and I'll get to a little bit more on that tonight. We got some more money. Moving forward through the pipeline, congressionally directed spending, I can't believe it, but we got $12.5 million moving through Representative Baggage for the mill property. We have $12.5 million moving forward through the mill property through Murkowski, and she also funded $1.3 million moving forward through appropriations for the diesel power plant roof replacement. So altogether, significant chunk of change just in the federal appropriation cycle. Recall, we have a $50 million grant outstanding for the EDA Transformational Path Grant. That will be likely decided, I would expect, in July and August, so we'll be tracking that. We've still been able to submit some materials to EDA for review. Pearlson did a nice press release of what work they're doing here in Wrangell. They do really big projects, and so to have that press release is pretty impactful for the administration to see. So we've been able to give those kind of things to them, and they're tracking our progress together. So very exciting. We also applied for the small shipyard grant, which would replace the 150-ton travel lift out in the Marine Service Center and a couple of smaller pieces of equipment. That basically gets a travel lift for free. Basically, we can trade in the travel lift that we have, and that will apply as the match for the new travel lift, which is a 25% obligation. I'm still tracking with Representative Bynum on the $5 million for the State Harbor Matching Program. He proposed an amendment to the House Finance Committee that failed last week because he's in the minority, but it is it's looking good when you get to a floor amendment potentially, which should happen in the next 7 days. The legislature gets out on May 20th, so or 8 days, and I think the odds are pretty good because the speaker has a project in that ranked list that would fall under this funding, even though he's on the other side of the aisle. And you also have Petersburg Representative Rebecca Hemshoot that has a project funded that's also on the other side of the aisle. So if we get those two votes on a 21-19 split, you get the project funded. So they'd have to essentially vote against their own community's projects for that amendment to fail, which, you know, that might happen, but hopefully this recording gets through to them and we get this thing funded. That's $5 million in addition to our $25 million grant, which should be very celebrated for the RAISE grant for the Wrangell Harbor Basin. So that project, we're looking to get into construction next summer. That's a whole new Inner Harbor, Standard Oil, Reliance, floats, pilings, electrical, everything. So a really big project. And we'll be able to throw that on top of the American Cruise Line project, AML's piling work and ramp project, and Petro Marine's new dock. So there's going to be a lot of maritime infrastructure getting poured into the community in the next couple of years. In terms of projects update, we have the McKinnon Street project going before eligible contractors to bid on tomorrow. I believe it's getting released. That's already in the paper, so it'll be released for 3 weeks tomorrow. We'll get collect bids on that project. We expect it to be competitive, and then we'll have a notice to proceed to follow at the end of the month, and we'll get into construction in July for that project. Because of the short construction season and the nature of the summer, we did just meet internally about a transportation plan. Problem with, you know, addressing your largest downtown corridor and your road is you got to have a transition plan for freight. The most impacted freight users would be sea level in this scenario. Mike Allen Enterprises, Johnson Construction, those are about the three businesses that we've identified for this transportation plan, because the whole road's gonna get ripped up at once. Ideally, we'd rip up half of it, allow for half access, but with the shortened construction season, we don't want this to go on into November, December, or have to come back and finish it next year. So we're gonna rip it all up. We're exploring the possibility of turning in Case Avenue into a one-way. I know nobody likes it. We don't like it. And then potentially the Post Office Hill to be able to have freight move through the town to the community, to those user types. It may be something that's on a schedule to do that. Doesn't need to maybe happen all the time, but we will have to be able to accommodate that if we want this new road and structure. So we'll provide some notice to the community well in advance of those changes. So everybody with lots of big signs and, you know, we do love our seniors, but they also deserve big signs when there's changes in traffic. So so we can adjust. And so appreciate you guys' attention to that. We also have the public safety building going to be going to construction this summer, complete exterior renovation, new roof, siding, everything. There'll be a pitched roof for it. We got grant money for it. We issued bonds for it, which has not been used. The taxpayer dollars have not been used for that project. We should get bids back in June and move forward with construction in July, same time frame. And then the school project will get out the week after next. And then we'll have three different buildings getting renovated. So new roofs on the school facilities, middle school, high school, elementary school, new siding and mechanical systems. So all that together is, you know, a lot of money into the community. That's well over 20 million. And there's more projects to come in the fall, such as the waterfront fill out and the shooting range project. So about $30 million is what we're looking at for the next 7 months, which was what we've been working for. And in terms of ratepayer dollars and taxpayer dollars used, it doesn't even register. It's pretty much all grant funded besides your bonds. So that's pretty exciting. I'd like to get the assembly's permission with a 6-head nods to cancel the May 26th meeting. We don't have enough business to do on that meeting. Also be coming back from a little bit of PTO, so I don't have time to get the agenda done. So we ask for your guys' permission to cancel that one.
I'm good.
We're good to go?
Good.
We do, however, want to do a special meeting on the 19th of May. And that is it's a 5-minute assembly meeting to approve a contract for a proposal related to our wastewater treatment project analysis. That's an ongoing. That's a $175,000 grant that we got through, actually loan, but completely forgiven loan, to analyze the different alternatives for a wastewater treatment plant. But we will have to, it's an unfunded mandate, but we'll have to build it by 2030. So it's very time sensitive that we get this thing going. And we'd like to have you guys be there for the 19th to approve that. Some member Donald. May 19th.
By Zoom.
By Zoom. By Zoom. It could be at lunchtime. It could be at 7 p.m.
I know that's difficult for assembly member to board and for you too. So if 5:30 would be okay for the 19th, but it would be by Zoom. It wouldn't be here.
6 p.m. or something like that.
Is 5:30 okay? Okay.
Everybody okay
at 5:30?
The mayor would be able to participate whether she's back or not, because it'll be Zoom.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. And I'll be able to get the agenda published, and I'll be able to send that information out to the assembly. So for that.
Great. That's everything I had, but I did want to address some of the comments made in person, because we heard it. Really appreciate you guys all participating tonight. That's what the public process is built on. So appreciate your comments. Joan Sargent didn't talk about it, but I did get her letter regarding the sales tax ordinance. I'm happy to amend it if that'd be more comfortable, although I do believe you'd be exempt regardless under the sales tax ordinance. But our intent is not to have any sales tax remittances applied to the animal shelter, certainly. So your proposed language would be fine if somebody wants to consider that specifically. I still think that we're not in the business of taxing charitable enterprise, and even though your interpretation of occasional may vary, but it wouldn't be expected even if it did pass the way it is. So I just wanted to comment on that. Appreciate all the work you're doing on the 4th of July, and appreciate the update. We did get your schedule. Kathy Watkins, I appreciate the clarification on the senior exemption as it relates to the Knowlton Center Market. It's certainly not a material thing for the borough, so that'd be a policy decision by the assembly if they wanted to consider an exemption for the Knowlton Center Market for the business license portion of it, I believe is what the comment was made. That would be material for us, and I leave that up to the assembly, but I appreciate what you said about seniors and a growing economy has a healthy balance of everything, and we got to take care of everybody's needs, so I appreciate that. Donna made a comment regarding the Knowlton Center Market. I believe our sales tax ordinance, and I don't know that it's been very clearly articulated, takes care of most of your concerns. First of all, the business license doesn't cost anything. That's effective July 1st. So there's no cost to anybody for a business license. We just want to get them on the record so we have a good registry. Second of all, you have to do over $500 in sales a quarter to even be required to remit sales tax. So if you're under that threshold, you wouldn't be required to remit sales tax. So I would hope that would take care of most people that are in the gift giving business there, such as yourself. And, you also mentioned that folks that would be building or creating or fabricating something out of materials are paying sales tax on those items.
and then change, you know, selling that and then remitting sales tax. But in those events, you could apply for a resale certificate, which we were very forgiving, and we pass those out all the time for sales tax. And that basically what that means is because I'm transitioning an object into a product that I wouldn't have to pay sales tax on that initially. We don't do that for the grocery stores for obvious reasons, because we've seen other communities do that and then go right back to applying it because it's too hard to enforce. But if you're, you know, buying lumber from Johnson's and you're creating birdhouses to sell at the community market, you can apply for a resale certificate and we'd analyze that. So hopefully that gets you
the thing some answers to paperwork
concerns. Yeah.
You're causing paperwork.
You can't speak right now, please.
Okay.
But I will go ahead and throw it out there. But finance department's happy to assist anybody that needs help with paperwork. They're awesome to work with. So they'd be more than happy to fill it out for you in some cases, certainly for our seniors as well. So appreciate your comments tonight. And Mr. Smith, I appreciate yours as well. As it relates to the restructure plan, I appreciate you being a part of it. The math that you had behind it is close, but I would argue that, you know, while there's three new positions that you created, there's two positions that are being defunded as part of the restructure. And so that factors into the whole equation. So, you know, I would be able to show you it would take, you know, 30 minutes to go through the payroll tab on the budget, but I will show that in the budget work sessions, the math behind everything on a detailed level with salaries and employer costs. So that's likely the root cause of the variance that you develop, which I would trust your numbers on the three. I'd also like to address what you said about your position and the police department and what we were up against the previous budget cycles. We did have a tough budget a year and two ago due to secure rural schools and not having the assurance that we were going to get $800,000 to $1 million each year. That's about a sixth of our projected funding each year. When that program was not reauthorized, we had to find a way to cut $800,000 pretty quickly. Or spend in a deficit position. And I can't propose a deficit budget to the assembly. It's in charter. And that's likely the biggest culprit of it, but I'm happy to sit down and talk with it. So we did have a nice work session on the restructure. I can elaborate more of that during the items and I'll answer any questions from the assembly. Thank you.
And Mr. Don, if you have any questions, you want to get any clarification or anything that was said, you can talk to
Megan.
Or you can talk to Megan or make a meeting with
you can talk to anybody, we'll help you out.
Just come on in. Okay, I don't have a lot. The only thing that I do want to report on, first of all, thank you for agreeing to have the quick special assembly meeting. The Board of Equalization meeting is still on for May the 18th. There are two appeals, I believe, that our assessor and our controller are working on resolving. And if those are resolved, which we believe they will be resolved, then that meeting will be canceled. And we will, either myself or Megan or Rob will send you a text or an email letting you know that meeting has been canceled. So, and I will be leaving on Friday for my international conference, and then I'll be back the following Friday.
Clerk Wayne, when is our budget work session scheduled?
Oh, it's in here. Budget work session scheduled for June 3rd.
Does that still work for everybody? For June 3rd? We can view that far in our futures. Well, we'll shoot for that. We'd like to have full attendance of the assembly, just given it's a big one.
It's just a work session for the budget. No other meeting business to be conducted.
Okay. We will send out some proposed new dates because I'd like to try to get everybody there. We're on a pretty narrow budget window and it's pretty hard to get a lot of changes at the last minute in. So we'd like to try to get them all in one fell swoop and then present it to you guys for consideration. So me and Nicole can reach out with some new dates.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mayor Assembly Business. Hearing none, mayor and assembly appointment, there are none. So we'll move right into public hearing. Kim, do I read these? What it says?
Just read the resolution number of the assembly, the item, just the item.
So just read the title or just the whole item?
Just the title.
Public hearing of resolution number 0526-2045, and I'll declare the public hearing open. Oh no, administration report, please.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, thanks, Vice Mayor Powell. So this is the most exciting thing on the agenda. So Kathy, don't leave yet. And then you can leave. Grid Reliability and Stability Project of SEPA. This is a approval of a lease for 45 acres of property. And we have been intentionally kind of quiet about this for quite some time. We were going through a land exchange, and SEPA was operating an executive session because it's a very important project to their interests as well. We did exchange 27 acres to the Trust Land Office. That was over by hole two of the golf course out on the Spur Road. And we got 266 acres in return. And we strategically selected those lands based off of a lot of our partnerships with private industry and the agency of SEPA. So the parcel that we just got through that land exchange is 72 acres, and we're suggesting to get a 45-acre portion of that leased out to them. Pretty rugged terrain, and they did a nice job in their presentation and on their PowerPoint describing really not another great use without a lot of funds being parked towards it. I'll just kind of cut to the chase and talk about what this project is. It's a solar field project, and Robert Steven did a great job in the presentation describing the synergies of having a solar project in the communities of Wrangell, Peterson, and Ketchikan. When we're relying on hydro, we do have eras of drought, and we've experienced that. So this is a nice complement when we're in drought season and it's not raining, those lakes aren't filling up and we have less energy potential to use. And we've seen what happens when we get too low in the lakes at Tyee and Swan Lake. So a solar project is a nice addition to that to protect ourselves against those circumstances. This is starting off as a 1.5 megawatt project and increasing to a 5 megawatt project. I bet if I were to look at the community right now, with the warmer weather and heading into the summer months, we're below 5 megawatts. So this solar field could potentially completely power the town at its current standing right now. It certainly wouldn't work in the wintertime because demand's a lot higher. So that's the goals of this. So what this lease agreement says is we get priority access to everything out of that project. They're building a $6 million project and we get the first dibs on the benefits of it. We also get priority access when there's a power outage. So for example, that little flicker we had this last week, we would have rode that out without a power outage under this project. So there's some stability to the grid in this because there's a battery system placed in this as well that would get you through a 30-minute period before you had to put your diesels on. I haven't got the full investigation report on what tripped related to this last outage, but I think it was Ketchikan. They were out as well. A lot of times when there's a bird strike on the lines or a tree on the lines or something like that, that fluctuation in voltage can cause the whole grid to go down. The reason that feeder three stayed on is that feeder system is able to take on different voltage fluctuations better than feeders 1, 2, and 4. It was designed that way because it has our hospital and our water treatment plant on it. But this project, for example, we wouldn't have the lights go out, or we would have it out real quick and then it would been right back on with the project. So that's a benefit to the public. Public also pays for the diesel that we burn for our annual SEPA maintenance outage, where we're responsible for providing power via diesel to the community. That's been about $200,000 each year that the public pays directly out of their pockets. It's going to be higher this year, likely, unless they cut down the amount of days. But the diesel price has skyrocketed given the war in Iran and geopolitical events. And as such, this project could fully run the town. We wouldn't have to burn any diesels and charge in the community. That's $250,000 we wouldn't have to charge the community. So it's not going to happen tomorrow, but actually it kind of is happening tomorrow because if it has approved this, they're starting construction and then flying from Ketchikan, which is why Kim got that cell phone number on their sheet there. The other benefit is that we get an easement for a trail system along the whole transmission line, which I think is really, really important from a recreational perspective. No reason why you can't have a trail along the transmission line. We do have to get some special permit from the Forest Service portion of it, but for the most part, be a nice addition to recreational infrastructure. And the last huge benefit is an upgrade to our switchyard. So we have our substation, which is in town by Public Works right here, that takes all the power coming in from Tyee, breaks it out into the feeders. And then you have your switchyard out at where the SEPA substation is. And there used to be a transformer there that powered the mill property. Used to have a 5 megawatt transformer that ran the mill there. That got taken out when it was obsolete. There was no use for it. Back in 2006, this project puts in no less than a 5 megawatt. It's probably going to be a 7.5 megawatt transformer is what it's shaped up to be, which would provide all the power necessary for JAG Marine Group to have the shipyard out there, for Alaska Marine Lines to have reefer containers and other utilities out there. So this is huge for our economic development potential, and we'll have a powered up mill property that's ready to go in 2028. So that's a $3 million investment, basically on behalf of our economic development. So they believe in what we're doing, they see what we're doing. So it's a very nice thing to have happen. So those are the three real key elements of the lease, 25-year lease, a couple 5-year extensions in there to mirror the life of the project. Now, there's some commitment on this too, because if the board still has to approve the switchyard upgrades, they've already approved the solar project moving forward. But if the solar project were something bad were to happen and the funding broke through or something like that, we could terminate the lease and move forward with in a different direction. If the board doesn't approve the switchyard improvements because they haven't yet, within the next 8 months, we can cancel the agreement. They're not going to want to do that though, because they're already working on construction tomorrow. So they're going to be throwing money at this. So everybody's been acting in good faith to bring this win home to the community. That's pretty much it, but I'll answer any more specific questions if you have.
Okay. They open the public hearing on this. Is there anybody who wants to make a comment? Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing. And entertain a motion.
Move to approve resolution number 05-26-2045.
Second.
Moved by Austin, second by Mott. Roll vote, please.
Assembly members Audison,
yes.
Dalrymple,
yes.
DeBoard,
yes.
Powers,
yes.
Mock,
yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell.
Yes. Public hearing, approval to move forward by the purchase of leased borough-owned tidelands requested by current leaseholder Richard Kerr. Administrative report, please.
Thanks, Vice Mayor Powell. We have a pretty straightforward land sale of tidelands. This is Richard Kerr is in the audience tonight. Has the property out on a peninsula over there. These are the tidelands adjacent to his property right inside the harbor there. This process started quite some time ago. Rich has been talking with us for quite a few months. This was prior to us even approving the premium on property, which I'm suggesting we waive. I don't think, number one, we started talking about this well before that premium started applying. And number two, kind of a unique scenario. This is right against his property. He's the only landowner that this would be really relevant to or have access to this parcel. So I would suggest in this that we waive the premium, or the assembly waives the premium, which was 10%, I believe. Anyway, straightforward land sale approved through the Port Commission, approved through planning and zoning on March 5th and April 9th, respectively. There was no protest received during the notice period, and administration's recommending the sale of this tide land lease valued at $70,700.
But what we're hearing, is there anybody who'd like to speak to this? I'll close the public hearing and
real quick, Assemblymember Powell, if we could just get a head nod, or if I could get a head nod that you guys are okay with not having the premium apply, that would be helpful. Just so it's on the record.
We need a motion.
Oh. Motion to approve moving forward with sale of borough owned lease tide lands. Lot 2, Lot 89-2, currently leased by Richard Kerr.
Second.
Motion by Allison, second by Powers. Roll vote, please.
Sorry. Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison? And Vice Mayor Powell?
Yes. Another public hearing, approval to move forward in sales of borough-owned real property consisting of a portion of A Street, vacating a portion of public right-of-way, USS 1593, forming plot number 2003-8, requested by Frank Warfold. Mr. Report.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Powell. So this is a different kind of sale, and I'll talk about the specifics. I was going to say, Richard Carey, you're good to go if you want to take off, but
he's
enjoying the assembly meeting. So this is a little bit different. There's a good picture on page 117 of your guys' packet. This is vacation of an existing right-of-way that's adjacent to Mr. Warfel's property.
It's approximately 15,000 square feet. It's not a developable right of way, but we've had to have one on our flats for legal purposes. So we're suggesting to vacate that as well as the lower section of A Street and reinstating a new section of right of way that's approximately 3,000 square feet. That's in purple on your page at 117. That would provide access to the parcels that he owns and has purchased from the borough. Administration's recommending this sale. He would have to purchase the portion of right-of-way that we're vacating. He would own that portion, and we will essentially net the property that he's giving up in the new portion of right-of-way that's being developed. We have to have entrance. We have to have two different access points from a right-of-way perspective on the plat. Otherwise, we'd have to have technically a turnaround point that would cost the borough quite a bit of money. So this gives us the legal access we require. We still need a survey and appraisal to move forward with this, but this is just you guys getting the head nod to proceed with the sale. It does develop those, provide access to those two lots, and I understand that Mr. Kerr's been in conversations about talking to sell the other ones out there, so not sure how it'll all shape out, but pretty straightforward, approved through planning and zoning, and mission for recommending to move forward.
Okay. Oh, public hearing. There anybody to speak on this public hearing? Nothing. I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve moving forward with sale of a portion of A Street and a portion of Cassiar Street, vacating a portion of public right of way, USS 1593, according to plat number 2003-8, requested by Frank Ford. Second.
Motion from Austin, second by Mock. Hold on, please.
Assembly members DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell?
Yes. Public hearing ordinance number 1101.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Administration report.
Okay, thank you, Vice Mayor Powell. We have the sales tax ordinance 1101 in front of us. This is the second reading. Public hearing on it. We talked about all the different exemptions that we made in the last meeting, so I won't belabor that. But I do want to focus on, again, on the $500 exemption per quarter for those. If you're doing less than $500 in sales, whether it's at the community market or at the board or on City Hall lawn or whatever, if you haven't read through that, you're not required to remit any sales tax if you don't breach that threshold. But we do still want everybody to get a business license, which is the next item of business. It doesn't cost anybody to do that, but we just want to maintain a record of who's doing business in the borough and to keep a fair and equitable playing field. Generally, we offered some additional exemptions within that and restructured. I do want to have the assembly consider an amendment tonight to Jones Sargent's letter. I think that we could just exempt animal shelters as proposed in her letter. From remitting sales tax, if that's helpful, just to get some coverage on that. So appreciate that. Other than that, I don't have anything else to share.
Okay, I'll open the public hearing, and I have one person to speak on this. Joan Stark, please.
So I assume all of you read that letter. Just to let the public know, it's on the radio. St. Francis Animal Rescue has asked the borough to allow, as it reads, animal rescues that are incorporated within the state of Alaska as nonprofit corporations, registered with the state of Alaska Department of Law, if they have more than $5,000 in revenue per annum and are recognized by the Internal Revenue Service as a 501c3 public charity, be exempt from sales tax. So that's what Mason is referring to, and we cannot tell you how much we appreciate the recommendation. Just to give you some idea of what's going on with us, I mean, we run on a really tight margin right now. We're doing our darndest to save for shelter. And an example of our expenses are, I mean, last year it was $5,000 in vet fees. It was just for the half off spay and neuter, though, all taking in animals. When we take in one animal, cost us between $400 and $800 to have it altered and have it vaccinated at this time. We do not get a discount at the vet. And what we make at a community market, they're gross. All of the supplies are, Arthur and I pay for it ourselves. It's between
right now $400 and $500. So we don't even make enough to cover one animal in the community market. I think I do need, I want to slowly or just quickly, very quickly address my general concern with what's going on right here. My concern was with 5.08.050F. Okay. And that's exemption from tax. Sales by religious institutions and nonprofit organizations are exempt only when conducted on an occasional basis and not on a regular course of business. And those definitions really, really, really tighten things for essential nonprofits in our community who run on, like I said, a thin margin. That 3 days is just not enough for these people, such as KSDK, Salvation Army, is to, you know, to avoid the, or to make enough money to function and not pay sales tax. And they are essential in our community. So specifically looking at this thing, that 3 days is just, oh my gosh, it's just hit me. And I did tell you our problem about that. The other thing I read is I read with my yellow marker through this is I don't see an exemption for youth nonprofits such as Little League and those associated with the youth wrestling. I think there is a nonprofit and the basketball Head Start. I'm really reaching out to all of these nonprofits in actually what St. Francis is doing. We turned the pumpkin patch into a harvest fest. And I invited all of those people there to fundraise. You know, and I mean, we have a lot of teams, a lot of kids traveling. And so they're out there, they're gonna be fundraising more than 3 days. And so that 3 days thing is a problem. And I'd like you to think about that if you move forward with this tonight. This whole solution of this thing, went through other cities.
Hey, John, you got it.
Yep. And there are exemption to nonprofits that you can apply for in every city in Southeast except Wrangell. This could solve this whole problem. So I have one from all the major cities. If you want to, I can give that to Kim and she can pass it on to whoever's thinking about this. And as you said, I've said enough. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hey, Vice Mayor Powell. Just
anything you want to say?
Yeah, I think.
Let's is there anybody else to speak if not closing?
I'm sorry. Yep. Is nobody else to speak on this? I'll close the hearing and go to the administration.
Thank you.
Let's get a motion on the floor first. I'm sorry.
I'll entertain a motion.
If you report this message
1101.
1101. One, yes, let's correct it right now.
Yeah.
1101.
1101. Motion made by Allison and second by Powers.
Okay.
So a little recommendation for you guys based off of that discussion from Ms. Sargent would be to add the exemption that she had proposed. I think that's just fine. Totally agreeable to that. I would propose that amendment be made to this ordinance to add that it's in quotes, second paragraph down, and make that exemption CC under section 5.08050 exemptions from the tax. And as a second amendment to satisfy the nonprofit requirement, I would just say that any fundraising activity related to nonprofits would be sales tax exempt. That would be under section F of 508050. There's two proposed amendments. I can help walk you through that because that's with the time, that's helpful. But I think that gives coverage over the concern. We're not here to get, you know, we still wouldn't expect sales tax to apply to those things in this scenario. So, but
Can I make a recommendation?
Yeah.
If the assembly is in favor of that, because it is not an hindrance to the community, it's actually a positive for the community, then you can just give the manager the approval to go ahead and make that that change in the ordinance and pass it. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Can we agree to that? Make those change?
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay, that up. All vote, please.
Assembly members Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Powell?
Yes.